This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, at the close of the program, I'll give you my mailing address and website address. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so either way. The website does have this program on it, so you can re-listen to it there. And it has a weekly meditation that you might find interesting and helpful, as well as other information. So if you'd like those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out, so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today we want to continue looking at worship in the Old Testament from the book of Leviticus. Now we know that in the New Testament, the Father wants us to worship Him, and we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we know the ceremonies that are laid out in the New Testament are certainly different than the ceremonies that are laid out in the Old Testament. And Leviticus is the book that lays out the ceremonies and the regulations for worshiping God in the tabernacle. And we've noticed that we are looking at five different offerings that the children of Israel offered in the Old Testament. And each one of them speaks of Christ and in some way speaks to our relationship with the Lord as well. And we have looked at the burnt offering in Leviticus 1. And we have looked at the meal offering in Leviticus 2. We've looked at the peace offering in Leviticus 3. Now we want to look at chapters 4, 5, and 6, where we look at the sin offering and the trespass offering. Now, when we worship God, of course, what we are doing is we are giving Him adoration. We are giving Him thanksgiving. We are giving Him praise. We are giving Him our lives. But we're also doing what He has asked us to do. And in the Old Testament, He asked the children of Israel to offer these sacrifices. And we have mentioned over and over again that the sacrifices of Leviticus never saved, but they were for the saved. And in the New Testament, there are two ordinances in particular that are for the saved. They don't save, but they are for the saved. And those two ordinances are baptism, right after we're saved, to show our identification with Christ, and the Lord's Supper. And while many people have in some way made those two ceremonies, sacraments that in some way put away sin, they don't. All they are is ways of worshiping the Lord. And when it comes to these ordinances, we can go to heaven without ever completing these ordinances. But we should not go to heaven without partaking and completing these ordinances, particularly baptism. And baptism is always in the scriptures a burial. It's always given to us as a way of identifying with Christ. It's always a way of showing now that we are Christians, and when we are buried in the watery grave, we are raised again to walk in newness of life. Again, the thief on the cross went to heaven without being baptized, but I am sure that if he could have been baptized, he would have been. That's the thief in Luke 23 that died beside the Lord and asked for mercy. He went to heaven without being baptized. And I've often said we can go to heaven without being baptized, but we shouldn't go to heaven without being baptized. Of course, we can't go to heaven without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, without coming to an understanding of our need of the Lord, of our sinnership, and then trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to put away that sin and in a righteous way be the sacrifice that we are looking at here in the Old Testament. And the Lord's Supper, too, does not save. There are some people who think that in taking the emblems in some way sin is put away. But the Lord's Supper, communion, does not save, but it is for the saved. And you can go to heaven without taking communion. But if it's possible for you to take communion, you should take communion if your heart is right before the Lord, if you're saved. Because, again, this is the way you show that you love the Lord. And it's a simple thing that the Lord has asked us to do. Then, in addition to that, we can give of our wealth to the Lord. We can give our time to the Lord. But really, we need to give ourselves to the Lord. Romans chapter 12 is quite clear that Paul beseeches the Christians. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so after we're saved, we don't live for self. we don't try to figure out how we can best advance our own objectives in this world, but after we're saved, we ask how we can serve Christ. That's what a Christian does. That does not save us. But the saved should want to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Much like Paul did on the Damascus Road. And so when we look at these sacrifices in the Old Testament, it takes all five of them to give us a little understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us at the cross of Calvary. He did offer himself wholly to God and met the righteous requirements of God. He did live a perfect life, as we see in the meal offering. He was the one who provided for the putting away of sin so that we could have fellowship with him, not only in our daily lives, but in our corporate lives as we come together to hear teaching and remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, in the Lord's Supper. And so he is that fellowship offering, that peace offering, that thanksgiving offering, but he is also the sin offering. He's the one who put away our sins. John could see him on the banks of the Jordan River, John the Baptist, and could say, Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So he's the one who takes away our sins, and he's also the trespass offering. If we were to go back to Psalm 69, we have a psalm that we call a messianic psalm, and in it says, Then I restored that which I took not away. And so the Lord, when we'll see in the offerings for the person who has sinned and knows they've sinned and they've trespassed, they have to make things right and add 20% there too. Well, the Lord is a picture of the one who has restored all things, and he didn't just add 20% to what he did. He added everything. He says, Then restored I that which I took not away. He was not a sinner, but he made restoration to God for us. So now today we're looking at the sin offering and the trespass offering, and I would like to read to you from Leviticus chapter 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, let me see if I can get this again, sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning that which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, the priest that is anointed, if the priest that is anointed does sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he has sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And there's much more here with regard to bringing sin offerings for the priest, bringing sin offerings for the congregation, bringing sin offerings for the individual. But then we also read about the trespass offering in Leviticus chapter 6. And it says there, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, and any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the thing which he found. Of all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of the trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram, without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And then I did read or quoted from Psalm 69 and verse 4, They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Then they that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. So again, we want to emphasize that it takes all of these offerings for us to understand something about what the Lord has done for us at the cross of Calvary. And as we look at these offerings, we can see that for us, when we first get saved, it's our sin that bothers us, and we're probably more occupied with the sin and the trespass offering, how we can make things right. But when we are worshiping, we ought to be more occupied with what the Lord means to God. Because, in fact, God was the one who was satisfied when the Lord died at the cross. And so when we read from Leviticus, it's what the Lord means to God that comes first, and what he means to us as he puts away our sin that comes last, even though when he puts away sin, that does satisfy God. But it is interesting that as you look at the sin and the trespass offering, that the sin offering seems to deal more with the nature of sin. It's things that we do that we don't know are sin, and maybe later on we find out that they were sin. We're still accountable for them. We still need to be forgiven for them, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does cleanse us from all sins, so those sins are covered. But the Lord is the sin offering in that when he died, he took away the sin of the world, but he is also the one who restored that which he took not away. There's things that we do in life that we can never make right, but the Lord has made them right for us. But where we can make them right, it's worship to make them right. And it seems to me that once a Christian is saved, while salvation is a gift, it's by grace that you're saved through faith. And I hope you understand that today, dear listener. Salvation is a gift. It's something that's provided for us, not something that we provide for ourselves. Yet when we are saved, usually the person who's saved has a new nature that desires to make things right where they can. And I know that there are some times that when you try to make things right, you make things worse, and there has to be some discernment used in making things right. If you've had an affair making things right and confessing that is going to destroy a marriage, you might want to think twice about how you make that right. But you should confess it to God and make things right that you can make right. You should pay back debts that perhaps you haven't paid, and you should try to apologize to people that you've offended where you can. This is just the nature of the new the person who has been born again, to want to make things right. And making things right, as I said, doesn't save. But the saved person will want to do that. And so these are ways that worship is pictured in the Old Testament. We see it through the offering of these animals. And these five different offerings are different aspects of the work of the Lord. And they should speak to us about different aspects of what we can be if we're going to be Christ-like after we're saved. And so I hope looking at these has been helpful. And again, I want you to understand that there is nothing we can do to please God until we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But once we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we should recognize that the Lord has done much more than just put away our sins. He has satisfied God. We can be occupied with him as in his perfections, and we can enjoy fellowship with God and with one another. But we can also be thankful that he has put away our sins, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we appreciate that, we can praise God for that today. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for the Lord and all that he means to thee. But we thank thee for all that he has done for us. We pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened, as we again thank thee for thy Son in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.